This is Tammy Graham with KSUT Public Radio. I'm speaking today with Michelle Riott, who's the project manager for the sewing team, which is under the umbrella of the Maker Lab at the Powerhouse Science Center in Durango. Thanks for joining us today, Michelle.
Thanks for having me, Tammy.
You're welcome. So, boy, you and hundreds of others have self-organized over the last several weeks to just put together a Herculean effort in creating personal protective equipment for our frontline workers. So I want to share with our listeners, have you share a little bit more about this amazing project. First of all, how did this all kind of happen? I know it was very much a self-organizing effort, but how did you get involved and how did it all kind of get rolling?
Well, it kind of starts, as a lot of things start these days, at a Zoom dinner with a friend of mine who's a pediatrician, Dr. Paki Chaudhry, and she was talking about her concern about how she was going to get her staff protected with various equipment. Specifically, we were talking masks at that time. And so I do a lot of research in my day job, and so I said I could start researching mask materials and other ideas for PPE, and so I started kind of down that road, and that was about 5 weeks ago. It's kind of amazing how time has flown in this effort. In parallel to that, other people were getting involved who were interested in trying to support our healthcare providers, and there was a parallel group making masks, and they had started their own Gmail account and had started looking at how can they make masks. They were already sewers and kind of organizing. In parallel, we were trying to work with the providers at Mercy to say, we would like to provide some sewn goods to you, you know, what works. And so we had started a prototyping process for gowns that are made out of house wrap, which is a Tyvek-like material. And so as those two kind of independent groups were working, we attempted to merge everyone together as we found out that they were all working so that we could have a more centralized distribution and order fulfillment process and try to, you know, have some economies of scale, I guess I would say, for everybody working together. It's, you know, when you said it was me, you know, said me and all these people. I mean, we have over 300 people who are sewing.
Wow.
Which is amazing, the people who have come together. We also worked very closely with Leanne Vallejo and Stitch, and she put a call out to folks who are quilters, and there was a quilters guild who was sewing and independent groups, and as we got into this, we kept bringing more and more people into the fold of, like, here's what we're trying to standardize on. Materials were really important. I kind of gave up my role of research about 10 days into this and took on the project management mantle because we were needing to have a structure and have understood, like, here's the materials we're going to specifically use. We're using a batik that's used in quilting for our pocket masks that are they're made for healthcare providers. We worked really challenging, but we worked through a design that we feel like is a good combo of two layers of batik cotton with a casing on the side that has adjustable elastic that has a pocket that you could actually put a filter in for later. And that was kind of our healthcare provider level mask. And then we have simple masks that we call them that are made out of quilting fabric that aren't as complex, that don't have the pocket. It does still have an adjustable ear loop, but that effort was, as well as an overmask, we're calling it, it's kind of like an apron for an N95. It has ties, and it's made to extend the use of an N95 mask. And then we actually have a fourth mask that we're making. Actually, we have five altogether. We have a superstar on our team, Sarah Burris, who had been involved in the T-shirt bag project. And she had kind of spearheaded that effort to make T-shirt bags that were available at North and South City Market. She had saved all of those scraps. And those pieces that couldn't be used for the T-shirts, the sleeves specifically, she started making T-shirt sleeve masks out of those. And alone, I think she made over 1,600 of those. And those are like no-sew, and they're pretty simple to make. And so She did that, and she also took on taking making surgical caps out of the scraps of the T-shirt that staff can use in the hospital or in a healthcare setting. And we've added buttons to them so that people's ears who are fatiguing from the wearing elastic around their ears from the mask, they can put their ear loops from their mask onto the buttons on the cap and give their ears a rest. So.
Wow. Nothing like the old adage, necessity breeding invention. That's never more true than in this case, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we really moved forward from there, and then we just continued to grow and bring on people to take on different roles on the team.
So how many pieces have you all actually produced and delivered to date?
As of Monday, we've delivered 6,019 pieces.
So that's Monday the 21st, is that correct?
Monday the 20th, yep.
Monday the 20th, over 6,000 mm-hmm. pieces. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many hours a week would you estimate you're putting in on this project? Or are you afraid to think of that?
Unfortunately, I had to do a timesheet for the Maker Lab, and I did figure that out. Like, I had put in 180 hours in the first, what was that, 3 weeks.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So we've had a great group of women that have come forward. Susan Atkinson is somebody that I want to make sure gets mentioned, because she had been leading that sewing effort for masks, the We Sew Masks at gmail.com, that had been working ahead of us, and she had really mobilized large groups, and she had a volunteer coordinator, and they had a system that then they generously just said, well, let's all work together. She had just done a Herculean effort before we had gotten involved. I had personally gotten involved with it. So,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we also have a couple folks, Pat Hartman, who has been our order request and order fulfillment person, has been incredible and a great resource, and we've had many a phone conversation trying to figure out, all right, we're doing basically a startup now,
yep.
And we're going to try to do production in remote homes. We're using people's porches for pickup and delivery. We had to come up with safety standards for people working on the sewn goods, for people delivering the sewn goods. We have a small network of drivers. So there were just a lot of logistics, and Pat was essential in working on how we're going to set up the system, and then being the person contacting healthcare providers and taking the orders and trying to figure out whose needs, you know, take precedent at a certain time to make sure that we're trying to get the product out in our region as much as possible.
So speaking of that, where all have you been distributing to frontline workers?
Well, pretty much we've kind of focused in the Durango area, but we've reached out to Shiprock. Indian Health Services had contacted us early on about their needs, but we took some product actually yesterday that isn't in our numbers over to Technos Post. County Jail, Montezuma County Sheriff, La Plata County Search and Rescue, Animas Surgical Hospital, of course, Mercy, the Southern Ute Dental Clinic, Senior Center. There's just been a variety of folks who we have requested, and we've tried to fill those needs. It felt really good last week when we actually had inventory that we could fill orders immediately instead of always being behind and not having what we had, in stock to be able to provide. Right now, we're working on gowns. We've been working with a great team over at Alpaca who has taken on helping us cut and make house wrap gowns. We're trying to put together 3,000 of those between Alpaca's workers who have been just fabulous, and we've started just yesterday receiving cut patterns and making our own, having our sewers work on them here.
So. Just amazing. It's just incredible. In the little bit of time we have left, what's been some of the reactions when you or someone on your team has delivered these PPE to the various organizations and entities?
Yeah, I haven't done any of the deliveries personally to end users, but the information that I've gotten from our drivers and from other people is just, the gratitude is, it's overwhelming. In fact, Dr. Choudhury, when we were able to provide for her practice, had talked about how overwhelmed she was in feeling that she could start seeing this Monday, she had started seeing new babies that were coming into the practice, and how thankful she was that we had been able to provide PPE so that her staff could be safe, and she felt like people coming into her clinic could also be safe. There's been a lot of heartfelt outpouring from the community about our efforts, and I know the sewers, who are our little, I don't want to call them, I hate to call them an army because they're, I'd love a softer term for them, just the way that they have come together and worked in such a cooperative way and been able to do this for our community, similar to the 416 fire and how people came together around that and supported the firefighters and others in that effort. Durango is just, and the La Plata County area is just fabulous in supporting people when there's a need.
Well, thank you so much to you and the hundreds of, we'll call them Susie the Sewers instead of Rosie the Riveters, maybe, for all of your work. It's just incredible. And thanks so much for everything you're doing for our communities to help keep them safe in this time of need.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I've been speaking with Michelle Riott, who's the project manager for the sewing team involved in producing soft goods, personal protective equipment for our frontline workers as part of the Maker Lab and the Powerhouse Science Center.